Last week I tried timing it with my normal timing, 10 seconds after, and it turns out it's more like right on the button these days. Exactly 8 o'clock in the morning, my time. I mean, does it sound very, very, very weird today? The reason for that is I've got three mics. I'm trying to do a, and I did a keyboard show a week before last, and last week I did mostly a guitar show, some keyboard. I don't even think I have Logic Pro running. No, I don't. Okay, so and then today I wanted to do a recorder show, and I haven't done a recorder show in a long time, and I don't know. I sometimes doubt the wisdom of it, partially because it kind of makes me nervous, because I don't know. Like I have a hard time getting a good sound out of the recorder, but this is why I'm using three mics. I've got my SM57, my SM58 kind of up high and on the right and on the left. And I'm also making use of my Macintosh computer's more omnidirectional mic. So it's a mix of three mics. So it sounds a little better than it did before. I think what was frustrating me was bad miking on the recorder. Recorders is a very weird, and it's not suited for a unidirectional mic like an SM57 or even a 58, which is a little bit more omni than a 57, but it's not omni enough. But I think using these three different microphones. And I guess I had them all turned up to normal, like overdrive at 100%, and or volume at 100% rather. And it was blowing out the level meter when I tooted on the recorder, because the recorder is kind of a loud instrument. That's one thing that I'm not used to, being like a keyboard player and a guitar player, especially like an electric guitar player. So you can make it as soft as you want to make it. With a recorder, you are stuck at a certain volume and people are going to hear you. And this is even like the recorder even has got a reputation for being very quiet. And this has always been a problem. This is partly the reason it was replaced in kind of Western classical music with the flute for the most part until recently. Well, the recorder's got this history, you know, it's a 900 years of repertoire. I've been watching my recorder channels, but and my favorite recorder person to watch, her name is Sarah Jeffries. So you could Google or go to YouTube rather and search for Team Recorder, and then you can find Sarah Jeffries. And really, I kind of like watching her more than I like her instruction. Like really the only useful thing that she has is a video called How to Play All the Notes in the Recorder. Because I use the Yamaha fingering chart. And from there, they only go up to, well, this is an alto recorder, so they only go up to a high F sharp. So here are all the notes according to the Yamaha. Sarah Jeffries has got an, if she doesn't have like a Stewie, I say all the notes. She doesn't have like a, you know, a I don't know. I think she's from the Midlands, UK, so she's got a PHM type accent. Butthurt. All right. So I'm going to play all the notes starting from F. Well, I'll play it in a diatonic way. I don't want to do chromatic. So I'll just do a scale. Warm up a little bit. How do you do it? Then F sharp is kind of hard because you got to use your leg. But I'm gonna play a G, so never mind. That's that high G. So I'm gonna try to do the F sharp. So you should hear a dip down bass semitone. F. Here's the F. Again, this is not my best instrument. I feel myself kind of embarrassed because I'm producing bad tones here. But, you know, what are you going to do? But I've been playing it since sometime in 2018. It was just kind of a spontaneous thing. I don't know. I think I kind of blame weed. Like, I went through a little period where weed was very profound and meaningful. Like, I would smoke it and get all kinds of cool ideas and want to do all kinds of cool things. And I don't know, maybe it kind of kicked on some neurotransmitters that are normally kind of missing with me. So, but that doesn't happen anymore. Now it just, as I said, gives me the munchies, puts me to bed. But back in 2018, when I smoked weed, it made me want to pick up the recorder. So, I have it right here. This little plastic Yamaha Alto recorder. And I've told you the sad story. Ooh, you can hear my voice being all weird because I got three mics. Mic one, mic two, mic three. Oh, that's so cool. I feel so soundy. So much sound everywhere. The sound show. So, I bought my, I'll tell you the story. It was back in when I was growing up as a child in frozen Canada. We played the recorder, just like they do in the States. They throw the recorder at the classes of elementary school kids. And, you know, I doubt the wisdom of this, but anyway, it's cheap. It's something to do, you know. I think the main thing is cheap. Recorder, it can be mass-produced. You can just take a plastic mold and you can produce an insanely, insanely cheap instrument that's actually a pretty good instrument, as in it plays in tune. Like, a little plastic recorder is in some ways just as good as the most expensive recorder. Not timbrely, not in terms of like making notes. I mean, the professionals all go for wooden recorders, but in terms of cost, recorders are pretty cheap, even at the very, very high end. Like, I can't imagine someone spending more than like, you know, I really don't know what we're talking about here, but I think I'm not going to start throwing out figures. But anyway, so I paid about $20 for this Yamaha. And anyway, what happened in Canada was I lost my recorder. Everyone had like these kind of very kind of posh looking, I thought, cream colored recorders made out of a certain kind of high quality looking plastic. And they were Yamaha, I believe. Pretty sure they were Yamaha recorders. Anyway, they're soprano. So pretty small. And then I lost mine. So I had to go to the toy store and buy a new recorder. And I got this like bright fluorescent orange recorder made out of like cheap, shitty plastic. And then I came back and all the kids laughed at me. Well, I don't think they didn't that much, but I'm just very thiff. So to get over that, I bought recently, this is my first recorder that I bought, is a Yamaha model, but it's an alto, so it's like one size up from the sopranos. Recorders come in many different sizes, mostly bass, tenor, alto, soprano, and then they call it sopranissimo, I think. It's a tiny, tiny little one, and I think they even make an even tinier one, and then they make a bass, and then it might be a contrabass, and then like some experimental huge ones, but mainly the normal sized ones repertoire-wise are bass, tenor, alto, and soprano, and I have got all of those, actually. So the first one I bought was this Yamaha Alto. And then I thought, okay, well, I want to go a little bigger. So I got a tenor recorder. And that's a pretty large instrument. It's bigger than a clarinet, I would say. It's a little bit difficult to even hold on to. But for its size, it doesn't really go very low. So I kind of feel like it's a waste of space somehow. It's for one thing, it's hard to play. It's too big, and you got to keep it up there, and the finger holes are too far apart, and it's kind of awkward for me, for whatever reason. So I went through a brief period where I was playing that all the time, my tenor recorder. I could get it, but I'm all wired in, so I won't. All I have up here on the desk are my three recorders that I play regularly. So anyway, that's my tenor. And then I got, I can't remember the order of this. Either I was gifted, well, my aunt used to play the recorder. Like, she took lessons. Like, she went a little bit beyond just the elementary school level. She was, like, learning classical repertoire on the recorder, like Bach, Mozart, whatever. I don't know, maybe not Mozart. I don't think Mozart. Mo the Antonio recorder had that weird kind of fading out from the serious music repertoire for a long time because it was replaced by the flute, and people thought it was primitive. And then it kind of came back into resurgence. And that actually happened around the same time that it became really popular in elementary schools. So anyway, I have a bass from her, a bass recorder, but it's kind of a strange bass recorder. I'm not sure if it's, yeah, I think it just has the finger holes are a little strange looking. I'm not 100% sure that it's got the correct Baroque fingering. But anyway, I have that. And then Jim, my stepfather Jim, gave me or loaned me or bequeathed to me, I suppose, put in my care and custody, a little soprano recorder that belonged to his granddaughter when she bought it, for when they bought it for her when she was in elementary school, just like a billion kids, and this happened to still be in the closet. So I really like it. I think it's a lot of fun to play because it requires almost no breath pressure, and you can just go with this tiny little thing. And I mentioned it to her last time I saw her, and she went, "Oh God!" So apparently she didn't have a great experience with a recorder. So, did a mysterious switch right now from my oh the one recorder I didn't talk about is my wooden one. I ordered this from Thomann.de, which is a German music company. And they sell like the standard kind of rock and roll instruments, drums, bass, guitar, keyboards. But they also sell a little some classical-ish instruments like the recorder. So this is the only place that I could really order from. So I had to have a recorder shipped from Germany. There I go. There I go again with my German thing. I gotta cure myself. My plastic Yamaha, and the plastic Yamaha is really, really, really close timbrally to my wooden. It's a Mollenhauer Dream, and partially the reason I got it was because it doesn't have Baroque styling. All the rec all every rec recorder you can buy, well, that's not true. Every little tiny cheap recorder, every recorder that's issued, and kind of like the standard picture people have in their heads when they think of recorders, are going to have that classic kind of classic Baroque. That's kind of an oxymoron. They're going to have Baroque styling. So I like the Mollenhauer Dream because it doesn't. I think it's supposed to be more Renaissance looking. But to me, it just looks more modern. It doesn't look like it has any styling at all. It's a smooth and it's got a little collar. So here's the wooden one. Here's my Mollenhauer Dream. So I can play this much better, actually. I'm much more comfortable on the wooden one than the plastic one. I think that's it might just be that I'm more used to it. I don't know. Or it might be that it's just a more cooperative instrument. It's possible. That's also possible. So I mostly play my 200, but if you paid $200 for a guitar, that would be a barely playable guitar. But if you pay $200 for a recorder, you're like swimming in the high end. So that's my comparison. Well, I mean, So the point, one of the points being that the recorder is just not a very technically complex instrument. I've talked about this. So somebody asked me about this. I've become somewhat known in my Zoom church for being the recorder player, and there's something about it that is a little bit more impressive, I think, than being a guitar or keyboard player. It stands out more, so I kind of enjoy that. There's the thing like also you're producing the note from inside you, and it's very loud. You can't. Well, I mean, it's considered to be soft, but it's louder than an electric unamplified guitar. Like when I play guitar and keyboard, I don't turn it up very loud. I play very quietly, but with a recorder, you've got to play at a certain audible volume, or else you start altering the pitch. Like, okay, I'm gonna play the C without enough breath pressure. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do all this with playing, holding, old fingering one note, but just playing with my breath. So, you see, also you hear that break. It's like a harmonic break. Like that's a real classic kind of a Japanese flute thing, and it happens much more easily on the low notes. It's actually a little bit of a struggle to do it on the higher notes, like C, for instance. And C is okay. So you've got one hole on the back, the thumb hole, and it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 holes on the front. So you're using all of your fingers except for your left pinky. And your right thumb is kind of holding the recorder. So the only thing you're not using, yeah, your left pinky, you're just kind of waving in the air. So that's the left out, which is like with a guitar, the only finger you're not using is your right pinky for the guitar. So it's like, you got to play both recorder and guitar to use all of your fingers. Man, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh yeah, the overblowing. Okay, so in using F and G, which are the two lowest notes on an alto recorder, so let's do G just because it's easier. Or let's do F. We won't be pussies. We'll do F and listen to the overblow. So yeah, this is actually a very sensitive note. Like I went to one recorder lesson. I drove all the way to Grass Valley, Catalunya. I had like an hour lesson with this professional flute and recorder, and I think saxophone player as well. A lot of woodwind players will often double on other woodwinds, so that's something I found out. And actually, I kind of wanted to get a clarinet at one point, but I think I won't. I think I'm happy with the recorder. Like, a recorder is good enough for me, man. I like a lot of things about it. I like the kind of hipster value it has. Like, it's the elementary school instrument. It's kind of an uncool instrument in a way. I don't know. There are many things I like. Anyway, so F overblowing. So you got to be very gentle with these Fs. This teacher was telling me. And they just are not very solid, good notes. Very easy to overblow. Gotta suck the spit out. Now see, you can hear the overblow there. And I find that the G overblow is the one that sounds very Japanese. You can also do an A overblow. That's a very clean break. You don't get that kind of two-toned distortion. Where it's playing like almost it's playing a harmonic interval. It's playing two notes at the same time. Like two different columns of air are vibrating at the same time. Let me see if I can maintain that. And I'll do it in the G. I'll still do it in the F. So that you can hear two pitches. Let me do the G. That's harder to do. Yeah, I can't do the G, but the F, I can get that double pitch and kind of do a whatever Mongolian throat singing thing, where you're using a monophonic, or sorry, Mongolian throat singing, Bashkir flute playing, where you're playing two notes at the same time. So let me try that again. No, I can't do it. I was doing it before. You heard it. You heard it. You heard it. I can't do it now. All right. So let's try overblowing. Anyway, I was saying the overblowing on the A note is very smooth. Like you don't get that little break in between where you hear two tones. It just pretty much breaks cleanly into an octave. And I think that octave overtone is present in the lower in the note when you're not overblowing, and then it just gets louder and louder. And C, this is a very, very cooperative note. These are the easiest notes to play on the recorder are the ones in the middle. So from that like that little octave. From C to C, from C to shining C. But you can overblow with the C too if you're really hard. So let me try to do it. Woo! That one you can maintain that double note with. But that's loud. And I kind of, well, I don't have my level meter. My screen went dark again. And also, I don't want to disturb my housemate too much. Which is kind of inevitable, I suppose, that you know. If you're doing a recorder show, let me check my watch. Oh, 8:22. Not bad. Not bad. Brew with me, sir. I'm gonna take a sip of water. Because I can't have dry mouth. I ran out of tea that I like. I ran out of Celestial Seasonings. I checked. It's Bengal. It's not Bangladesh or Bengali. It's Bengal, or Bangalore. I was thinking it was. It's Bengal, like the Bengal tiger, and they got a picture of the tiger on the tea box. So I ran out. I gotta buy more. I tried another brand and another flavor, but it was so bad I had to throw it away. So I think at this point I've experimented enough with Celestial Seasonings, and I've arrived on one that I actually like, and I'm gonna use it again and again. Wu-Tang again and again. Oh yeah. Snake Charmer. Anyway, so the coolest thing I can do on the recorder is throw in some odd tones to create like Arabian scales or blues scales. I'm pretty stuck like in certain keys though. I'm pretty stuck in either G minor, G major, A minor, C, sometimes C minor if I'm feeling adventurous. Because with C minor you get that nice G dominant. And you can throw in that harmonic minor, that natural seven, to kind of give it a Bachy sound. Sarah Jeffries, my favorite recorder player, said that this note is her favorite note on the recorder. And I guess it's very clear, and it's with a thumb hole off, and you're fingering 1, 2, 3, 4 holes. You're leaving the index hole off. And I don't know what note it is. I'm bad at notes, as I said. Many times I'm bad at notes. I just go by finger shapes and sounds. I'm just a very amateurish. I'm kind of a caveman-y musician, I guess. I'm a pre-literate musician. Ooga. And that's appropriate with the flute, because the flute is the oldest instrument. Excuse me. The very, very, very oldest instrument. They found a flute carved out of a vulture bone from like the Paleolithic. So, and it's so simple to make. It's just a hollow piece of a hard material, you know? That's all there is to it. And this, all the sound comes from this vibrating column of air. So it's kind of brilliant in a way. And it's so low maintenance. Like, you know, with a guitar, you're always changing strings. With a piano, you're always tuning it up. With a recorder, you don't really need to tune it. I guess it can fall out of tune if it warps or shrinks in some way, but I haven't had that happen. With a plastic recorder, that basically won't ever happen. Basically, a plastic recorder is so true to pitch, you know, that it's just like, amazing, man! But a wooden one can, like if it gets wet, I guess, I think you're supposed to, well, I don't know, I kind of have an inner struggle about this. Like, you're supposed to dry out your recorder every time you play it, but I never do that. And I don't know, I've been playing it for a while. I oiled it up a few times when I first got it, and it seemed like it kind of needed it then. But it hasn't really seemed like it's needed it since then. And I don't know, maybe I'm just going through weird crazinesses, but who knows. Hear that G breaking. G minor, ex-girlfriend number 3's favorite key. Because she was a violinist. And the bass string in the violin is G. And of course, everybody loves minor. Nobody likes major keys, except for Van Halen. Let's do A major. A major has a weird note in it that I never play. C sharp is hard. It's hard. I mean, this note I remember because Sarah Jeffries even said C sharp is a difficult note. I even heard her screw up when she was demonstrating like all the notes on the recorder. She miss blew. I think it was a C sharp. So there it was. Come on, come on, come on. So A major's got a lot of very strange split fingerings. There's basically two kinds of fingerings, like straight ahead fingerings and split fingerings, where you're fingering a bunch of holes, you're leaving a gap, and you're fingering more holes. And those notes are actually more physically complex, like regarding which air columns are vibrating. So, yeah. Anyway, it's hard, man. It's hard. A minor is very easy. A minor is my default key to noodle. Like if somebody says to me, play me something in the recorder, I'll just start in A. Thank you. And the only split fingering there you have, you don't even have to play it very much because it's the B, A, B, yeah. Because I normally start with a pentatonic and I play like the A, then I go direct up to C, which means I'm lifting. I have five fingers down, then just three fingers down. So you want to play that B, you gotta do a split. And I fucked it up. That's one nice trick you can do, that break while doing a trill from A to G. One thing you may have heard was my vibrato. It took me a while to get the vibrato right. I didn't get the vibrato really confident until maybe like 2 years ago. I don't know, maybe 2019 or 2020 sometime. Because it requires like kind of a ha 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 ha. It's almost like you're laughing. So yeah, pretty much stick to my keys. Most of the time I'm in A minor. And other keys are just awkward. I suppose I could practice to get better at them. But if you're gonna make a pretty noise, then it's like, why not just stick to the keys you know? So there's some notes where you gotta finger half a hole. The notes toward the bottom. These are really tough. I'm probably not gonna mess these up, but because here's this low F. Just play it very gently. And the F sharp, you get a finger half. You can hear that's in danger. I can hear the overtones even blowing it low. It's so easy to overblow. I don't know how anyone plays this instrument professionally, And because it's so, maybe it's possible that I suck. And it's also possible that this instrument is not the best one. I mean, it was only $200, so I mean, you probably pay. This is where I stopped myself before because I really didn't know what I was talking about. But I know you can pay into the low thousands for a recorder, but for like let's say for a clarinet, saxophone, violin. Well, violins obviously that's got the reputation of being like you can pay astronomical, for a violin. But I think recorder, you probably would have trouble getting into the the 5 digits for a recorder. I think you're gonna probably the highest end you can get. I'm just kind of talking out of my butt here. Are gonna be 4 digit. So like 9,000. Ah, derp, 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 derp. Anyway, F sharp. G sharp. G sharp is way more cooperative than F sharp. Can even do a little vibrato. Like I can do vibrato in F sharp, or I'm gonna overblow it. You hear that double tone? Like, listen, I bet you with an F sharp, I can maintain that double tone that I was trying to do with F. Not so well. Anyway, G sharp, G, no, G sharp, A. So bad at notes. B, no, B flat, though. B, C, very easy note. C sharp. Now this is not the hard. This is the C sharp in the first octave, and this is not a very hard note. But this note generally cooperates. It's kind of complex to finger. Like it's not only a forked fingering, but it's a partial whole fingering on the last hole. So just for your edification, it's index finger on the left hand, index finger, middle finger, and then you skip a hole, then index finger, middle finger, and then with your annular finger. Your ring finger, you cover only half of the sixth hole. Airwise, it's a very cooperative note. It's not very. It's somewhat cooperative airwise. I can overblow it, I think. Woo, yeah. Now that one, let's see if I can maintain that. Huh, that's awesome. So that's that. This is good knowledge to have. I didn't really have this knowledge before. Is that this C sharp is pretty easy to maintain a consistent overblow, like a double tone. If you want to do that for modern purposes, anyway. C sharp. What comes after C sharp? D. Now this, I'm having trouble. Let's see. Da, that's right, E flat. I remember the E. See, I'm enharmonically. That I think that's what really messes me up with notes is the enharmonics because they don't necessarily proceed like an alphabet should. So, but this one I know because if I'm noodling in C, this is the minor third. So if you want to play that C blues scale. Gonna need to know E flat. That's a forked fingering. It's yeah, well, I won't even tell you what it is, but it's kind of a flick, it's like a flick off fingering because the note that you're leaving off or the hole that you're leaving off is your middle finger. So you're sticking up your middle finger when you play it. So E flat. E. E flat comes before E. Like even I can figure that out. F sharp. Oops, no. What is that? F. See, I'm such an idiot. Now F sharp. Yeah, G. That is pretty much the simplest note you can finger on an alto recorder. On the soprano, it would be, fuck, I don't know, some other note. Yeah. And all you have to do, you have your finger off the thumb hole, and you're only fingering the second hole with your middle finger. So it's the anti-flick-off chord. You're doing the opposite of saying fuck you. You're saying I like you. So G says I like you. G sharp. That's the note that Sarah Jeffries likes. This is her favorite note on the recorder, and I don't know exactly why. I think it's yeah. I mean, it might have something to do with just the way it's fingered and the way it sounds. I mean, what else could be? An A. This is when you start having to do a funny trick with your thumb. You partially cover the thumb hole, and they never specify. Like instructors, I found will never specify how much to cover the hole. It's supposed to be like a test thing, like that you go through yourself to figure out, because it varies how much you cover it depending on what note you're playing to get the best tone. So with A sharp. B, then the dreaded C. This is the dreaded C sharp, the high C sharp, the second octave C sharp that I would see. Now, what are the chances that I blow this correctly the first time? I'd say zero. I did it. I should award myself something. I'll give myself. I'll go upstairs and I'll eat a cookie after the show's over. C sharp. D. D sharp. This is when it starts getting weird. Like the record, I always have said, this is, yeah, something I've always said to myself, is the recorder seems logical most of the time. Like when you take off fingers, it gets higher. But sometimes when you get into the high notes, you put on fingers and it gets higher. And this just has to do with what columns of air are vibrating and how many of them there are. And nobody knows this. No recorder player can really explain this, because this it gets really rapidly into pretty sophisticated like acoustics, like to do the air column vibration stuff. And I found a French page once that explained it, but it was like way beyond me. So here's my E. Then finally, F. Not finally, but here's F. Then just for comparison. And then lowest note. So I can play three Fs. And then people complain that the recorder, this is one of the chief complaints about it, is that it has kind of a limited range. And now if you're Sarah Jeffries, that's not really true, because you can go up into the stratosphere playing these high kind of experimental notes. But my limits are the Yamaha fingering chart, man. And the Yamaha fingering chart only goes up to G. So here's a low G, middle G. High G. So that's, and then yeah, that, and then the F sharp. I'll do my three F sharps if I can swing it. Can't play that low one. Let me suck this spit out. So those are my F sharps. So I did it. Those are the three notes on the Alto recorder that I know how to play in three different places. So that is the pretty much the widest range that the recorder is going to have. Now, I have gone through Sarah Jeffries' video, how to play all the notes in the recorder, and I can replicate some of them. But it doesn't take me that much higher. And plus, I don't even want to be playing that much higher, because when you get to these high notes on the recorder, they become, and these are Sarah Jeffries' words, they become more experimental. Like the overtones are more apparent. Like you heard on that F sharp when I was playing down below. Like you can hear the overtone, which is not a nice note. It's not, well, not, it's nice. It's not a clear note. It's not a single pitch. You know, this is supposed to be a monophonic instrument, dadgummit. So that's about my capabilities on the recorder. But mostly, this is what I like to do. I just. Play that arpeggio fast, but I can never do it. Ooh, I fucked that up. You hear that sucking? This is another one of the big problems with the recorder is they get condensation. This is a like kind of an unsolvable problem. I think that you can warm it up beforehand, or you can soak it in water beforehand. There are a couple of little hacks you can do to stop this. I don't know what the pros do, but yeah, it's a temperamental kind of a difficult instrument, and I kind of it's partly it's I, that can make it kind of appealing because it's so like hard in a way like. I've heard it's that this is one of the criticisms of introducing the recorder to kids is that it's actually a pretty difficult instrument. Like it's not a cooperative instrument. There's all these problems that I kind of illustrated for you. And if you want to get a lot of notes out of it, you're just gonna have a lot of difficulties with children. 99% of whom, I don't know, let's say 90% of whom don't have like a musical inclination. Or, I'll stick with inclination. I won't say ability because that's bad. Saying one person differs innately from the next. Can't say that. Boogity. What time is it? Oh, 8:47. Take another sip of water. Oh, but I never demonstrated. I could do this. I could do this with the final 13 minutes of show time. I could demonstrate my other recorders, except I don't want to get up because I want to take out my earphones. God damn! Oh, but I like that shifting kind of weird when I move my head around and all the different microphones. Anyway, so here's my little baby soprano. It's easier to play. It's less temperamental. It's a little bit plasticky sounding, but I don't mind. It's really kind of just a cultural preference, I think. The preference for wood. I mean, wood has a different kind of sound to it, and as people get into it, but it doesn't. The pitch isn't any. The pitch may even be better on a plastic instrument because it's not going to warp. So, yeah, I think that plastic recorders are they're fine instruments. You could like this is just a little throwaway instrument that my grandniece, is that what she is? No, she's just my niece. Sorry, I get mixed up. These my she's my step she's my step niece. Yeah, it just gets tough with remarriage and multiple generations. You got to use the right terms. Anyway, she just issued this in school. I doubt she even paid for it. Maybe she paid $5 or something. The parents, they collected $5 from all the parents. And then they buy these recorders en masse. But it's a perfectly good instrument, And also the thing with the recorder, you basically are using your fingers for pitch, change the pitch. But you're also using your breath. So this is how two recorders can play in tune with each other, is they kind of adjust their breath pressure together. So that this is another pro this is another big problem with elementary schools because not all of these kids have got a good sense of pitch, and it's not like they're not music they don't have musical ability, but they're just too young, and they're not it's not a focused instruction. They're not really they're kind, it's kind of forced on them. Here's this little dinky plastic thing, and now it makes some toot 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 noises. And I've seen some of these recorder instruction videos for kids, and the teachers don't go into pitch. They don't go into, okay, make sure you're playing in tune. That's like one step beyond. What these kids are taught. So anyway, come on, cooperate. So the lowest note in this one is a C. So I keep on. It's okay. Let me use my super terrible music theory. So if alto, the lowest note is an F, and this is a C. This is a fourth higher. No, is that fucking right? No, it's a fifth higher. Yeah, FAC. Again, so this is a fifth higher, a perfect fifth higher. Okay. Trying to play that high. What is it? Was it the C? It would be a high D in this case. Very high one. See this here, I think you're getting into like the limitations of maybe plastic is in the very, very, very high notes and the quote unquote experimental notes, they become even harder to play. I think, I don't know for a fact if that's true. It's hard to know what's the recorder's fault and what's my fault for not being all that good. Those of you who are fans may have heard the second Wicks song. It's on my website. So go to mjt.sdf.org/wicks2.mp3 and you can hear this very instrument, the soprano recorder, donated by my stepniece. failing. You just gotta blow gentle on those low notes, or else you can overblow. I got 8 minutes still. I don't even have Logic Pro started. The screen is black, so I have no choice but to just sit here and talk and play recorder. So I successfully did a recorder show. So I'm gonna pat myself. I'm gonna whack myself on the shoulder. I'm gonna knight myself by tapping myself on the shoulder with my not really my borrowed soprano recorder. But you know, in practical purposes, she's not gonna ask for it back. So basically, I will regard it as that I will always have this thing that is not actually mine. Because she's younger than me, so I'm probably going to die before she does. So I will always have my step niece's recorder that she doesn't want, doesn't like, doesn't play, but was sitting in a closet for years. Like, I don't know how old she was when she took it up. I'm going to say 8. She's 24 now. So whatever 24 minus 8 is, 16. God, see, am I. Yeah, I just normally that's the kind of math thing that just will trip me up because I get math anxiety, but it just came to me. 24 minus 8 is 16. I'm so smart. So yeah, with that, so in elementary school, basically, this is what I remembered is you're just taught these three. So hot cross buns. This is about as high as I want to go on the soprano because it gets piercing and the notes become quote unquote experimental. After this note, which would be a C on the alto, but I don't know what it would be on G. Because those three notes, those first three notes that you learn are B, A, and G. So bag. G. G, A, B. So you play like a kind of a dumbed down version of Mary Had a Little Lamb. When in reality, you should be going. But most kids don't get to that point. They just learn those three notes. Like, and now they didn't do this when I was in school. They didn't have the recorder karate. But I'm looking at some of these videos online for what kids in elementary schools are doing now. They do like a recorder karate. Like you get your recorder black belt. So like I think it's like Amazing Grace or something. Super easy. Doesn't use any forked fingerings. I just did a forked fingering there, but I wanted to do that little grace note. That B, that trill. I don't have a keyboard, so I can't demonstrate on my keyboard, but I'll do it. Ooh, that's loud. That internal microphone on the Mac really picks up the keyboard thumping. See how typing sounds. Ooh, it beeped at me. But I don't think you can hear the beep because I don't have system audio. All I've got, this activated my monitor again. And all I've got are three input devices, microphone, the internal mic, and then the two microphones that are connected to my Scarlett Focusrite. That kind of thing is something I just kind of discovered myself. You're supposed to like go a ta 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 or da 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 when you articulate a note. So it kind of makes sense that you can use kind of tongue rolling techniques to make it a little more. So they never teach you that in elementary school, and they didn't teach you that in the Yamaha fingering chart, and my single recorder lesson didn't teach me that either. Sarah Jeffries didn't even teach me that. I discovered that all on my own. Ha ha! Thank you for putting up with this recorder show. I did everything I'm here to do. I can die now. I can expire. I did a guitar show, a keyboard show, and a recorder show. Now we got to think of other things to do for my remaining sound shows, my remaining prefabricated cutlass sound shows. Bye.